Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I have a really, really amazing show for you today. A lot of us question how Western medicine is working for us, and many of us have realized that the things that we're doing, the foods that we're eating, the drugs that we're taking, all these kind of things are really affecting us in ways that we really don't know about. And many of us are curious as to how that's affecting us and how we can make these changes. And, you know, I'm someone who has really practiced holistic medicine for so many years because Western medicine has not addressed the issues, many of the issues that I have, although there are certain things that Western medicine has been really great about. But it would be really wonderful for us to know exactly what it is that we're doing right and what it is that we're doing wrong. And today, I have with us Sonia Barrett. And she is the executive producer of the documentary, The Business of Disease. And this movie, well, I should say documentary, this won the best documentary in 2014 at the Marina Del Rey Film Festival. And it presents a compelling case for individuals to be self-aware and to take control of their overall health and healing. Sonia Barrett is the author of The Holographic Canvas and the companion book to the documentary is the book Health, An Inside Job, An Outside Business. So that's a supplement to the film, and each chapter is written by the individuals that are in this film. Sonia Barrett is also the host of the new podcast, Sonia Unplugged. She has a lot of wonderful things to tell us, really important things to tell us, and I would really like to bring her on now so we can talk to her and learn right from her. Good morning, Sonia. How are you?
Good morning. I am great. Thank you. I'm well.
Good. It's so wonderful to have you here. I have watched the document in its entirety, and I am so... I'm moved, I'm provoked, I have all these feelings of, you know, what do I do now? So there was a really interesting comment that you made in the, you know, in this documentary. And you said, we are not programmed to live, we are programmed to avoid dying. What did you mean by that, Sonia?
Well, I think when you examine it, and, you know, this is everybody, young people, older people, we are always sort of in this fear of, you know, so, or be something happening to us, to our bodies, to our health, make sure you have insurance. Make sure, just in case anything happens. It's just ongoing thing. And I think if everybody stops and really starts examining the course of their life, even on a day-to-day basis, conversations, so on and so forth, you will realize there is always this constant survival theme that is going on, as opposed to, can we just live? What about that part? How about if we're just living? Must we always be in preparation for, you know, something going wrong with us? And of course, the model that we, you know, that we use is really sort of set up for that, for, you know, caution, you know, our danger, Will Robinson, and, you know, get your flu shots, get your vaccines, you know, it's always the latest something. You know, people are constantly in fear. They might not realize it, but they're in constant fear. It's like everybody's sort of traumatized with this constant caution.
Okay. And considering the environment that we're living in, the things that we're exposed to, and all the crazy diseases that have become so prevalent,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense that we're afraid. And
mm-hmm.
we really do have some things to fear because we are not in control of our environment and the things that we you know, put in our body. So why is it that we shouldn't, you know, be prepared?
Well, I think preparation, the kind of preparation that we should be involved in, is completely different than that the fear-based model that has been presented to us. You see, we really are not sort of taught to be responsible for ourselves, for our bodies, to listen to our bodies. We don't know how to really engage with them. We don't know how to, you know, take care of ourselves to the point of continuously building our immune support. We don't, you know, we don't understand, well, yeah, we can still find real food. It might at first seem like it's going to take a little bit more, but, yeah, you go to your farmer's market. I mean, there are ways to continue to do these things for yourself where it's not going to be necessarily just completely out of this fear. I mean, I've lived like this for a very, very long time. This is not new. Yes, I've lived like this, geez, for as far back as I can remember. I've always listened to my body and taken care of myself. I'm the one responsible for myself. And I'm not saying you don't go to the doctor. That's not at all what I'm saying. But we have been taught to rely completely on the doctor and what the, you know, going to the doctor instead of figuring it out yourself. Nature has provided so much for us. So that's what I'm talking about. Yes, the environment, they're doing all kinds of stuff. But the immune system is probably one of the most crucial pieces here. Your immune system, your mind, your emotional state, what you believe, what you understand, your perception. It's a whole lot more that's going on than simply just looking at the external aspect. And one more thing, the body is truly designed to fix itself, but only under the right conditions. So I don't want it to be some woo-woo where you go, oh, yeah, the body's designed to fix itself. And people are going, well, how? Under the right conditions, and that involves your emotional state, and that involves you wanting to be really responsible for your body and realizing that your body really does belong to you and it does talk to you, and how do I listen to it?
Yeah, you know, you had Romeo Brooks, who is a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and, you know, he said that sickness and disease are signals, and, you know, he said, if there's something going on in your house, you would expect your smoke detector to go off. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's the same kind of thing that we should look for in the body. So when our body mm-hmm. signals us, it's like the smoke detector saying something isn't working right.
That's it. Exactly. It's not so much the name of the disease. It's not so much that. as opposed to realizing, wait a second, my body is out of balance. I don't care what is going on. If it's a cold, your body is saying, I am trying to fix myself. Something is off in me, and I am trying to repair myself. But because of our own ignorance or not understanding, we sometimes end up feeding it the very thing that is continuing to cause this is imbalance, and so the signal gets stronger and stronger. It could be pain gets, you know, more severe as it's saying, you know, come on, do something. It needs you to work with it in terms of it helping it to heal itself. So it is a signal. And so I don't really put emphasis so much on the name of a disease. And we live in a society now where the name of the disease is becomes so incredibly important, and then all of the definitions and all of the symptoms attached to the disease. Sometimes people are feeling pretty good, and then they go and they do get the diagnosis, and like Dr. Lieberman says in the film, it's the diagnosis that it most often takes down the person.
So before we went on air, I had asked you about what prompted you to, you know, to write this book and to do this documentary, and you were talking to me about breast cancer and something that you became very aware of. Can you explain that to us? What, you know, share it with the listening audience?
Well, let's see. For me, it was quite some time ago, like around 2010. I didn't, because I sort of live in a very interesting space in the way I operate, I didn't realize that that particular month that I sort of really got a little annoyed, I didn't realize it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But I got really sort of tired of every time I went to the store, wherever I went, it was, do you want to donate to breast cancer? And, I mean, and sometimes that's the way they would say it. Not donate to breast cancer awareness. And then I thought about the pink ribbon everywhere. Everybody is just sort of now connected with the symbol of breast cancer. And I wondered what that was doing to the human psyche. How were we taking that in? Because we, our brains, we're so plastic. We are so pliable. We're so easily programmed. That I wondered, and our first language was symbols. So we respond more to symbols than we realize, more to even verbal dialogue. And so I was wondering, I was looking at that as to how that was going, how that was impacting our little girls, our husbands, our brothers, or, you know, everybody. How is that being interpreted? And when I looked and I saw that they even had Pink Ribbon Barbie, and the NFL store had all this pink stuff, and this whole rah-rah around it, and that was one of the things that made me step back and go, okay, what are we turning into now? And then women removing healthy breasts, all of that. So I wrote an article called The Marketing of Breast Cancer, The Pink Ribbon Agenda, which can be found on the website, thebusinessofdisease.com. It's still there. And it's a pretty lengthy article, lots of information in it. And I, the response to it was, you know, absolutely incredible. I did post quite a number of the responses, and this was responses even from people who have had breast cancer and had their breasts removed. And they felt that I was right on point with the things that I was saying, the points that I was making about the programming, and women in particular being it sort of really encouraged to remove, you know, healthy breast just in case. Anyway, it went into, it was very deep. It went into the symbology of that and how would we taking it in as women, sort of in a way our breasts were now being trivialized and what the breasts really meant. They represent nurturing. They represent, it's what how we feed our babies. So there's a deeper psychology to all of it. It's not as topical as most people will think. It's how we change. And I want to say one more thing. The reason why this all becomes important is because you can look it up. You can see science talks about it all the time. We adapt to our environment. We are a species that have had to adapt to changes, whether it be grow longer legs because maybe we started thinking we can't really run too fast from, you know, dinosaurs. So suddenly, you know, you get a taller group. They've seen that where they've had different groups on the planet where they started to be really short because of food shortage and they needed to eat less. So the fact is, again, we are very plastic. We change according to the environment and conditioning, and so this is why this becomes important. What we suddenly start to become without realizing what we are becoming 50 years from now, 100 years from now, the species, we will have changed in certain ways of thinking and what we accept as normal. And cancer then becomes like, you know, it's like a cold in a way, and breast removal and so on and so forth. I hope that all made sense.
Oh, my gosh, it makes great sense. I mean, you are definitely on target with this. So I don't want to trivialize what you said, but to condense it down to the point where, you know, it's misinterpreted is really what
right.
I want to say. But in a sense, the epidemic of breast cancer can be potentially related to this mindset of it being everywhere. Is that sort of the correlation?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things sometimes I go, okay, where do I begin? I mean, we could do a whole, you know, 4 days on this. But I think when people start to understand more about the human design, the human mind, our emotions, how our body processes emotions. Emotions are electrochemical impulses. That's how we, you know, we feel, we process how we're feeling, we hold on to things, our belief systems, you know, our body responds to what we, you know, what we believe. And we can verify this by simply looking at when we are afraid, when something shocks us, we get a knot in our stomach or we get a headache. These are things that you can look at and realize that your body is responding to your emotions and what you think or what you believe or how you interpret something. And this is known. This is not, again, I would use my word woo-woo. This is not woo-woo stuff. This is science. And so to really look at the bigger picture of all of that, it can really make you stop and start to examine what you think and what you believe. Now, years and years ago, before I understood any of this, this had to be back in, I don't know, the 90s, and this was not a common thing. My sister-in-law at the time, she came down with breast cancer back, and I didn't hear about breast cancer anywhere to the magnitude you do now. And so she said to me, she said, you know, I used to always say, she used to always say that she had cancer. And she said that I used to always say that I do. And now I do. And so, and understand this, this woman was not somebody who was thinking of any spiritual stuff, or it wasn't like that with her. But she realized, and she said that to me, she said, I really realized that I finally brought this in for myself, because she kept saying this over and over, for whatever reason, she kept saying it. And ultimately, she did. I mean, there's so many cases of where people are giving, you know, testimony of different situations in their life where they can look at it and realize. Now, one might not be saying that. Somebody might say, well, I wasn't really saying any of that. But see, the subconscious mind is real interesting. It's interesting because there are things that have gone on in one's life, maybe imprints as well since childhood, traumas that have happened to one. Also, people who think that, well, such and such had it in my family, my mother, my grandmother, so I need to be careful because, it might be there. We have to understand that the body, there's a propensity for a great many things in our bodies, but they have to be triggered by something. Everybody has the propensity for something, and these things are triggered in the weaker part of our bodies is typically what happens. When you mm-hmm. have something going on, an infection, what happens? At some point needs to erupt. Well, it's the same thing. When you have emotional, lots of stagnated emotional stuff and beliefs, the body is going to eventually, it has to come out somehow. So the body starts to try to throw it up in some form or the other. So there's a lot that we could talk about around so many levels of this, so many levels of it.
Right. It's so true. And I had, a year or two ago, I had on someone who is a holistic cancer coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that in every case of the people that come to him with this cancer diagnosis, they had just gone through some sort of life trauma change,
exactly.
something like that,
mm-hmm.
that weakened their
mm-hmm.
body and allowed this cancer to take over. So,
right.
I mean, right, that's absolutely
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
and it attacks
true.
The most vulnerable part of your body. It might not even be cancer. It might be it's something else. But
right.
the most vulnerable part of our bodies is typically, where it goes to the most vulnerable part, the weaker part of your an organ or whatever that part of the body is. And so,
right.
and so these are things that, we're not taught any of this in school about the brain and the mind and the connection with all three in the body. None of that gets taught. And when you bring it up for some people, it becomes woo-woo stuff. And
mm-hmm.
we're so antiquated in our thinking. And this is a technology. This body, people need to understand that. This is a divine technology. When you look at the fact that you have a cut and it heals, it can heal itself. And the only time it has a hard time healing is when there is something going on in the body and it's, what is it doing? It is struggling to repair what is going on in the body and at the same time try to heal that cut. There's so many things going on in the body that it's trying to work on at the same time and keep you alive. It's also dealing with your emotional state. Somebody could be in a very depressed state, so the body has to compensate for that as well because your body can get acid even from your emotions, from just being so depressed. Your body can go into a very acid state, and your body can then also processing, or you're receiving very little oxygen to all of your body or certain parts of your body. Your oxygen flow is limited. Now you have circulation problems. That means what? Your heart's not pumping the blood either adequately, which is then going to result in what? In not getting the proper oxygen flow that you need, or your lymphatic system becomes stagnated. The sodium and potassium balance that's supposed to occur in the lymphatic system is off, so then that stagnation turns into, it's like mud. So what does that do then? Well, it's going to affect the oxygen flow once again. So the electrical system is just not working, and water is a conduit for electricity, which, of course, then, that all has to do with the oxygen supply as well. So it's this whole system that we need to understand. This whole system is working together. It's a magnificent vehicle, but we must understand that's what it is and that you govern that vehicle, and it takes its information from you. It takes its orders from you, and that would be all of your beliefs and all of your everything it feels and processes and, you know, all of that.
Well said, Sonia. That's I think you said that. You summed that up really, really well. There's a statement that somebody said. I don't remember which one of your of the speakers in the documentary said this, but they said that we don't have the liberty to cross the lines beyond the FDA and the ABA and the AMA, and that we don't have medical freedom. Can you explain what that is about, what they were referencing?
It could have been Sherry Edwards or Anne Baroque. When she said, I know Anne Baroque mentioned not having that liberty to cross that line. She was talking then about the doctors, actually, the doctors that they are unable to cross a certain line. Otherwise, they could lose their license. There are certain things that they're not the alternative. You know, some doctors are venturing more into that, but they do have to, they do sort of walk a fine line in terms of some of the alternative concepts, things. They don't get into nutrition. Typically, they don't. You have one or two doctors that are kind of pushing that a little bit more, looking at the mind-body aspect. Certain things like that, because they're not taught nutrition, to my understanding, in medical school. They don't get into any of that because their whole thing is about diagnosis and Band-Aid or cutting something out. It's not about the whole system.
Right. My son is in medical school, and my son he's been raised holistically. And he is very, very conscious of his health and everything, and he understands alternative. He understands herbs and all kinds of things like that. And he's so frustrated that his school isn't teaching this. You know, and probably what will happen is after he spends years and years and years and years of getting his residency and getting his, you know, board certified and all that, he will probably have to go back to school and learn a different way so that he can present both ways to his patients, which is something he wishes to do. But it's so unfortunate that the doctors are not being taught this. Western medicine is failing us.
But it's money. It's money. Why? Well, it doesn't happen that way because we have to understand that the method of healing once upon a time was more homeopathic. That was more the leading way for health was you went to a naturopath or homeopathy. That was it. And then the AMA came in and my history on this, I haven't talked about it in so long. I can't give you the dates now. But when the AMA was established, that sort of changed everything. And the homeopathic aspect, the natural medicine or what was normal, got pushed out and became alternative. Now, if the thing with that medicine, with that natural process, is that people didn't need to go to the doctor as much. There was less money that was being made from people going that alternative route. Going this traditional Western medicine route is a moneymaker. It is completely different because you get on pharmaceuticals or you have to come to the doctor. You have to see the doctor every whatever so many months. And, you know, if you have something going on or you have to go get a checkup. So it's nothing that is going to actually cure you. It's band-aiding everything. So you do have to keep going back. And one prescription drug leads to more issues, and then something new is created. And so it's just really a money-making machine.
Right.
So that's why it's not encouraged.
Right. So how is this film being received? I mean, I mentioned that it was an award-winning documentary. What has happened since then?
Well, it's been a journey. There's tons of people that, of course, the film hasn't been seen by lots of people because we are waiting on distribution. Well, now we have that, but the film will be, I'm going to say, you know, we thought maybe July, but it's got to be by the fall, from what I understand, with the distributor, and it'll be available on demand at that point on DVD, Amazon, Hulu, and I think maybe Netflix as well. So it will be available soon, and then on our website they'll be able to, I think, order it as well. So,
okay.
You know, it's been a real journey because, and let me say this, everybody that's seen the film loved the film. People who were absolute novices in terms of that aspect, you know, even looking at alternative, they said it jolted them into a completely different way of thinking. It made them reassess how they were living, what they were doing in terms of their own health and just life, period. And that's the whole point of the film. So the film has been received very well everywhere that it's been shown. We're going to start doing more screenings again. We did a lot of screenings last year, and we are going to probably also start doing screenings again too. But they can always just keep checking on the website, thebusinessofdisease.com, but you'll soon be able to see it, very soon. And I started this film, like I told you, I didn't plan to do a film, and I thought I was doing a YouTube video. And and it turned into this bigger project and required, you know, funding, and I couldn't even begin to tell you how. I did this film completely backwards of anything anybody thinks they have to do with a film. I did that. If I had known what it was going to cost, I probably would have been, oh, my God, no. Yeah, but I just kind of kept doing this film, and somehow I got it done.
It's amazing. Well, you know, in life we are propelled to do certain things that we by unseen forces that we just end up doing things, you know, and that's really what our purpose is. We came here to do these things. We're just not aware that we are, and sometimes we do back into them in reverse.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's funny.
Yeah.
You talk to a lot of people waiting on funding. Yeah, well, you do. You know, there are people that, you know, well, they've done this, and they're waiting on funding, and then they've got everything just done ever so the right way. And I've just come at it from completely backwards of anything. No budget, no, you know, it just...
It is, but Sonia, it is so beautifully done, so professionally done.
Yeah.
I just love everything about this film. I think that it's going to, once people have access to this is going to be viral, because it's important that we hear. It touches on so many different things.
Right.
So many different aspects of, you know, of our health and healing.
And who we are, who we are.
And who we are, right. And I love all the things that you do about the brain. You have people talking about how the brain affects everything and how vision affects everything and light and doing things by rote, how important these things are. You know, like someone was talking about how when we do the same thing every day, our body loses the ability to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just so many different avenues. And also, I love how Shari Edwards talks about the voice imprinting and sound healing, because I'm actually doing that right now with someone.
I think
it's phenomenal. Someone is helping me do sound healing. So, so is there anything that I haven't talked about that you think is real important to share? And also, if you could please let us know how we can, well, I guess at this point we can't get your film, but how we can get your books and contact you and those kind of things.
Well, the book you can always get, Health and Inside Job and Outside Business. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but I got to tell you, this book, and it's not just because it's my book, it goes with the film. It's a chapter written by everybody in the film. But I got to tell you, the information is really, it takes the film, it's the next level. It literally supplements the film. So where the film leaves off, these people in the film go into even more information. And so
wow.
The book can be, yeah, it's really, really good. And it's all very cutting edge. And everybody needs to, I would say, read this book. And you can get it on Amazon, and you can get it on our website and I think other bookstores. But it's really easy to get a hold of a copy.
Okay.
And
it's called Health.
This is of disease.com. It's called Health.
Right. Health,
and
colon,
an
inside job.
Job.
And
outside
business.
Business.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It says our state of health is largely influenced by marketing, conditioned beliefs, and misinformation. And that's what's on the cover, a supplemental handbook to the Business of Disease documentary.
Okay. Excellent. And your website is what?
The website for the film is thebusinessofdisease.com, and you can go there and view the trailer. So it's thebusinessofdisease.com. And my personal website, with all what I do, all of the other aspects of me, it's therealsoniabarrett.com. So it's therealsoniabarrett.com. That you can go to and find out more about me, what I talk about, what I do, and of course YouTube. Just tons of videos on YouTube as well.
Okay, that's great. So is there any part of this film or anything about this film that we haven't talked about that you think is real important to share?
Gosh, there's so many parts of...
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot, a lot of it. Dr. Huggins, who talks about dentistry, talks about root canals briefly in the film, and the people understanding what it is that's going on when you do a root canal, and the fact that there are a number of autoimmune diseases that not come from the root canal, but from implants. People who have had, a mouthful of implants. The fact that, how does he put it? That's Dr. Mercola. It talks about this electrical charge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And when
you put this screw, this metal into your mouth, it changes the electrical charges in your body.
Well, it's like tiny batteries,
right?
I think attached to the nerves or something, and then you put this in, and it's this reaction comes. And the thing is, what I found interesting about these implant situations, what you were talking about, is when I interviewed Dr. Huggins, I didn't really know any of that per se, that part, but I was able to then go back and relate to two people that I knew that had a mouthful of implants, and two people. I think the third one did too, not maybe as many, but they both were gone. One was she had pretty much her whole mouth done because they had the insurance and they could. And she died like 2 years ago, actually. She did come down with an autoimmune disease. She came down with ALS. And it was real interesting because when I was talking to him then, I remember she was sick, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. Because she ended up with that. And the other woman, she had her teeth replaced as well, and she ended up with some sort of cancer. And I think the thing is we don't really understand how everything is connected in the body, the teeth to the rest of the body, where those roots actually go and what they're attached to. And the fact also that the roots, as he says, has years, like I forgot if it's 1,000 years or 2,000, whatever, of genetic information like health, like, for example, in your bloodline, you know, it could be some on some disease you don't know about that today, but what's actually there. And so it's like it's all this incredible information that we just don't know about our bodies, about any of
right.
it. And the bones that are used, and he was talking about that. I don't understand that part of it, but because that wasn't in the film. That wasn't put in the film. But the bones, you know, taken from people who have died, and it had something to do with the implants for some people and being able to get the teeth in.
Right.
And the fact that the bone carries information, you know, forever. That's why some cultures revere the bones of the dead.
Right, and also that they talk about in the film, someone talks about, you know, how we need our body parts, you know, where our appendix and our tonsils and things like that that are just so quickly removed are so integral to our health system, to the health balance of our body. Senya, we are running out of time, and I want to make sure that I thank you very, very much for being my guest today and sharing this incredible information. I just think that you've done such an amazing job on this film, producing this film, and however you came into it, you ended it up very, very beautifully, and I think this is going to, like I said, go viral. And to everyone who's listening, when you get an opportunity, once this is out and you get an opportunity to watch The Business of Disease, you definitely want to do that. But in the meantime, you can go and get the book Health and Inside Job and Outside Business by Sonia Barrett, and that'll give you a really, really strong idea of what's in the movie. So thank you, Sonia. It's been really wonderful meeting you and talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care.
A wonderful day, and good luck with all that you do.
Thank you so much. All righty.
Okay, bye-bye. So our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's loveyourlife at RANDIGFINE.com. My website is also randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE.com. And if you go to my website has everything that I do, including my counseling. It's got links to all my shows. It's got some amazing articles, probably hundreds of articles there, that are about all kinds of things for human well-being, from spirituality to physical to mental, emotional, all these kinds of things. Even relationships, how to deal with your relationships, parenting, children, and personal growth and spiritual growth. So visit my website, randygfine.com, and check it out. I'm sure you'll find a lot there that interests you. And that's pretty much it. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, and life issues counselor Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be